Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome from the Touchline in Seattle. I'm Todd Stauber. I'm here with Aaron Hines and
why?
That's my best Gollum impression slash what Montreal was saying on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that is. That's a tough one for Montreal. They were so close. We're here. We got a huge week for you. Heinzo just diagnosed with a hernia, a little sports hernia this week. So he's struggling a little bit.
No.
It's a rough one here in the studio. But I think he'll get back. He'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back. He's going to start working with the German doctor that Pep Guardiola just fired and should do the special German hernia surgery, and he'll be back in a week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
So don't worry, Gibby. He'll be back in center back for FTI here quickly. It won't take long. We got a lot to cover here today, Heinzo. Big week in the Premier League. Chelsea on the verge. A couple other teams on the verge of potentially relegation. We're going to bring in former U.S. men's national team goalkeeper and former Premier League goalkeeper Marcus Hanneman to talk about his experiences in promotion relegation. He had them with Reading, with Wolverhampton, with Fulham while he spent time in England. Going to be great to have Marcus on the show. Former college teammate of mine. I was lucky to get to play with him. He was the reason we won the national championship. I really didn't have as much to do with it, but I did accidentally assist the winning goal.
Oh, well, that's really, I did.
Oh,
nice work.
And then he held it out 1-0. But going to be great to get him on the show. Can't wait for that. But let's get right into it. We got a lot to cover here in England. We're going to start by going to the Emirates last week. We will go back in time here, Heinzo. And perfect. We're there. And we're at the Emirates. 0-0 draw, Arsenal-Chelsea. It was a good match. You know, it really, I mean, I hate to say it, but you just saw the strength of Chelsea's defense. I mean, those four in the back, Cahill and Terry in the middle, as much as I hate to admit it. I mean, they're stellar. They're very good. Aspilicueta, Ivanovic on the outside. It's just been a tough back four to break down all year. They play, I mean, Arsene Wenger, it's just, there's nothing he could have done. It ended any hope of Arsenal catching the Blues. I think it was a match where you could see the way Chelsea responded after the match and what their demeanor was on the field. They were celebrating like they had won the title. They knew that was the game. They had to at least get a point at the Emirates, and they got it.
Yeah, they survived United, getting the win there, and then doing the same thing to Arsenal. And like you said, the back four, which is, you know, Kurt Zouma as well, stepping in there from time to time has been huge. I always thought right around February and January kind of area that Cahill and Terry were doing too much. I mean, Mourinho's hung his hat on two big-time center backs, like you said, but you're one injury away from kind of looking like a disaster. But Zouma stepping in there clearly is going to be a fantastic player in the future for him. And
yeah,
like you said, that back line is the best in the Premier League.
Yeah, no question. And I mean, could be one of the top in all of European football, I would say, that back four, even though they haven't obviously gone through in the Champions League. I mean, you look around, there's not a better back four almost anywhere. And Zouma, you bring up a good point. He's a young guy. He's only 20.
Yeah.
By the way, he's massive.
Yeah,
he's massive.
Alongside Matic, I mean, that is a very imposing.
Yeah,
imposing
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think you've got, it's the 0-0 draw at Arsenal. It set them up Wednesday. It was a 3-1 win at Leicester. Leicester actually looked to be in great shape. Mark Albrighton beat Peter Cech on the stroke of halftime. It was the first goal that Peter Cech has given up in the Premier League this year. Which was, you know, that's quite a feat.
That's good. Yeah.
Well done.
He hasn't played too much this year, but still, I mean, he's impressive.
So it looked great for him at home going in, but of course, it didn't take long for Chelsea to just impart their will. Drogba, 3 minutes off after halftime. He'd been terrible all day, by the way, and just great little goal, great little touch. And then that, you know, John Terry gets off the corner, gets his at the 79th, and Ramirez, what a great goal by Ramirez. Just putting that ball upper corner, 83rd minute. It was done at that point. Sets him up. Crystal Palace heading to Stamford Bridge on Sunday. Chelsea will very, very likely raise the Premier League trophy. And really, at this point, Hanzo, I'm just ready for this to be over. They're going to win it.
Yeah.
Let's just – I mean, I hope they just do it on Sunday.
Just and get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just win it and get it over with.
Right. Crystal Palace, you know, they're pretty safe. So they're not playing for a ton. Chelsea will probably want to just finish it out as opposed to just keep –
Yeah, keeping it going. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see them. Yeah, couple notes on Chelsea, other notes on Chelsea. You just read Diego Costa looks to be out for the rest of the year. But, I mean,
why risk him? You know,
do they need him?
Yeah, they don't, don't need him. No, they'll get a win. But, you know, you risk injuring him for prolonging something like that, like something he's been struggling with over the last year since last year's World Cup.
So yeah.
There's no reason to have him out there. I mean, you still have Juan Cuadrado. What happened to Juan Cuadrado? What?
He came on. Yeah. He came on. Juan Cuadrado came on against Leicester. He actually looked fairly lively, which you would if you've only played 9 minutes since January 1st. But he did come on. He is alive. I was doubting if he was alive. I thought he'd been, lost in London and they couldn't find him. But he is alive, and he did play. So, yeah, they've got plenty of options. I think Luke Remy is back in the mix now for them. He's another guy coming back from injury. Do they risk him? I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, Drogba, they seem to be pretty happy with him. Eden Hazard is such a great player.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have plenty of players, especially the one who's going to be league player of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Eden, just watching him, I really watched him on Wednesday, and his movement, he was central with Fabregas. His movement, it's just another level, and I think he's another level. And I think Eden Hazard is a player that if he can perform next year as he did this year, he's a guy that you start talking about in that upper echelon of world-class players. I mean, he's not there right now. He's had, a couple good years here in the Premier League. This year was his first great year.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that he's a guy that's going to be in the conversation. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, you go back to last year, and they were talking Hazard wasn't able to perform in big games. There was a little discrepancy between he and Mourinho, I remember. And, now he's, Hazard hadn't shown up in a couple of those big games. And I think I remember even reading something about transfer talk for him, but obviously not. And Hazard's been fantastic this year. And
right.
Be the player of the year. And there's no question they're going to hang their hat with him and Fabregas again next year. And Chelsea look to be really strong.
Yeah.
I think that obviously they're crashing out of the Champions League to PSG in the way they did. Would be the one big mark for them. But winning the Premier League title is huge.
Yeah, it's a big one for them, so that's good. Moving on, just a couple other results of note from last week. Everton just destroying Man United 3-0. And we'll talk a little bit to Marcus Hanneman, a former Everton player, and see what that meant to Everton. It was the biggest defeat in over 20 years of Manchester United. A big deal for that club, especially Roberto Martinez had been struggling. And obviously they're in a good run of form right now. And I think obviously that secures his job and sets them good going into next year.
Yeah, exciting for him. And they have picked up Lennon now and Everton, like you said, making the comeback. So it's good to see.
Yeah.
It's good to see Roberto Martinez. Always an exciting manager. Always enjoy listening to him when he covers the World Cups. So excited for him. United just looked like they had no interest. The basic defending issues. And it was just
basic. Very basic.
Stuff you don't see happen.
Is there any way they can pull Chris Smalling's contract that they just signed with him back after that performance?
It just makes you wonder. I mean, it's one thing to have an off day, but just to be so off like that and have everyone.
Well, my question is has he had an on day?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it if he has.
United in general is part of the issue, I think. Just to show up and have, they performed well against Chelsea. They couldn't break them down. They have the 1-0 loss.
Right.
And suddenly after that, they're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to finish in the top four, I suppose. But that's not guaranteed.
No, they're not guaranteed. And, we're going to take a look at that here real quick. A couple other important matches. Leicester 1-0 over Burnley. Obviously, that's a huge relegation. It has huge relegation implications. We're going to talk about that here in a second. And then on Tuesday, Hull City 1-0 over Liverpool. That's a meltdown going on right now. Yeah. And a meltdown of epic proportions potentially coming if they drop out of the top six.
It was huge for Hull as well.
Oh, massive. Yeah.
2-0 win over Crystal Palace on the weekend and beating Liverpool 1-0, 6 points right there.
And, yeah, it's huge.
They're still in the relegation talk, which
right. And if we look, let's just look at the top of the table now. Obviously, Chelsea's secured. A little battle there going on with second, third, and fourth. How that's going to finish, who knows? United on 65, City and Arsenal both sitting there on 67. United will host West Brom this weekend, and City Tottenham on Sunday at White Hart Lane. That's going to be a big match because obviously. Tottenham, Liverpool, Southampton now are, they're in a battle for that fifth and sixth for those Europa League spots. And, you know, Liverpool, Tottenham sitting on 58, Southampton sitting on 57. I think Liverpool's in danger here. Liverpool's going to host QPR, a team that is hungry, a team that is in need of a win. You know, I think this, you know, you've got Southampton away at Sunderland. Sunderland, another desperate team right now, just slipped into the relegation zone. These are a lot of big matches coming up this weekend. This is going to be a great weekend. You got a lot of people playing for a lot.
Right. And, you know, Brendan Rodgers is mentioning that Liverpool players are playing for, you know, their spot. And we could get into Rodgers, whether he'll even be there next year. But that it is true. QPR playing to stay in the Premier League. You know, that's the only team, I think 3 weeks ago I said stops when I was predicting the relegation zone that I said would be in there, who's still in the talk. I thought Leicester City would be there, and now I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I didn't think Burnley would be there, but I didn't think Sunderland would be there. I thought it would be, you know, some different folks. But
well, I mean, if you look at it, if we look at the bottom of the table, it's just, you know, there's a lot going on there, because Sunderland is sitting in the last relegation spot on 30 points. Ahead of them, Leicester on 31, Villa on 32, Hull City on 34, Newcastle on 35. You know, West Bromwich Albion on 37. Are they safe? Maybe. But after that, I think everybody is safe. So let's consider those teams that are in it. I mean, you know, one thing, you've got Sunderland with a game in hand, so you've got that. You know, as you look at the schedules here coming up, I mean, QPR definitely has the toughest run of all these teams. And you know, I think to me, QPR looks to be in a little bit of danger sitting on 27 points. They're needing 4 points to get out.
Yeah, they do. They're on the road too. They're at Liverpool, and then they're at City, and then they host Newcastle, which could be potential, depending on how Newcastle decides to play or not. And then they're away to Leicester, which is also another big one. Same time, Burnley are at West Ham. Then they're at Hull. Then they play Stoke. Then they're at Villa. So they're playing both Hull and Villa still in the conversation here. So where everybody ends up, Burnley, so they need to win. Burnley needs to get all their wins. Hull then play at home to Arsenal. Hull then play Burnley, then they're at Spurs, then they're at United. So some of these guys are still playing a lot of the top.
Yeah,
I mean, some. And then you look at Sunderland, even with a game in hand, they're playing versus Southampton, at Everton, then they play Leicester City, and then Sunderland finishes at Arsenal and at Chelsea.
Yeah, that's a tough one for Sunderland. I mean,
it could be a different Chelsea showing up at the end of the day.
It could, but still, I just think you know. I mean, we talked about it pre-show. A couple weeks ago, we're talking about no question Burnley's going to get out. Now Burnley's on the very bottom on 26 points. We were talking, you know, Hull City, Burnley, you know, or we were talking Hull City down. Now they're sitting in 15th place, you know. The form that some of these teams have found. I mean, Leicester City, you know, even though it was a 3-1 defeat there to Chelsea this week, they look good.
Yeah,
you know, they're definitely, these teams are invested in what's going on. And I think it's going to be just these last few weeks, it's going to be fantastic at the bottom of the table. You know, we talked about a little bit pre-show and the money that's involved in this for the clubs and what's going on just for promotion from the Championship into the Premier League. You're looking at £130 million per team, which is
massive.
It's a decent amount of change.
Yeah. I mean, the new TV deals they've got with Sky, it's changed the game.
Oh, really? Yeah, it really is. And then any teams coming up from the Championship, you know, they've got an extra $100 million if they're able to stay up that first year. So that's what you get coming in. You can just imagine what you lose going down.
Yeah,
it's big. And, you know, obviously you go down, you're going to lose your top players. And you're going to, you know, you're going to lose a draw on your fans. It's, you know, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And so I think, you know, just with that in mind, these games coming up at the end of the year are just going to be, it's going to be fantastic. Just look at the lineup this weekend. Almost every game has a lot of meaning in it. You know, you've got the Tottenham City game, obviously implications there. Liverpool QPR, same thing. Burnley is at West Ham. Mm-hmm. Going to be a huge match for them there. You've got the Leicester, Newcastle, Sunderland, Southampton, Villa, who are not safe at all.
Right.
Everton playing a red hot Everton team, you know, that's jumped into 10th in the table now. And then you've got United and West Brom. West Brom not quite clear. United needing really to get that push to stay in the top four. There's just so much. There's so much in every single game that we're playing.
Yeah, and it's exciting as well. You know, you look at the Burnleys and Leicester City, and you know, it goes as far as to say Hull City as well. I mean, these are clubs that They've been in the championship for a while. They've been up, they've been down. And these players are just excited to be there playing in the Premier League. And if they go down, they're going to stay and they want to get their way back up. But you look at a player or teams that have been in the Premier League for a while, like a Sunderland or an Aston Villa, who have never been in the, who's been in the Premier League since its inception, back in the early 90s.
Right.
They go down. They have a whole bunch of players who have no, you know, not spent time in the championship, and they're going to want to leave and go back up. So that those are people, or those are clubs that are going to take huge, massive hits as far as personnel, like you mentioned. So
yeah,
well, it's really exciting. We could be talking about three different teams next week.
We could.
It's still be much the same team, but it's going to be
all over the place. You could see it, and I'm guessing that it will.
What is exciting is too early to even tell right now about the relegation. It's actually out completely.
So. Right. Well, but one thing we can predict if we look at the English Championship is who's going to come up. We already know two teams coming up. Watford will come back into
welcome
the Premier League. Yeah, welcome back. Bournemouth.
Great.
I mean, this is their first time ever in the Premier League.
I love it.
Bournemouth coming up.
Tiny Bournemouth.
Unless we have a 19-0 result with Charlton. We'll cover that later. Come on. Charlton just signed Freddie Adu this week to try to up their goal scoring total to make sure they can get that 19-0.
You think they'll go to 18? Just for entertainment.
Yeah, they'll
just
get it to 17, and then if we look down there, you know, we've got the next four. The top two obviously automatically go up. They're getting paid out. Watford and Bournemouth. They've got money coming into their pockets very soon. We're going to have four other teams battling for one spot in the promotion playoffs, which I think is one of the greatest competitions in world football.
It is.
It's unbelievable. This competition. It really is. Middlesbrough.
Mini little tournament. Oh, huge money.
Huge money on the line. Yeah, seriously. So
get a chance to check it out. You got to watch it.
We've got Middlesbrough and Norwich City, two former Premier League clubs, already guaranteed in the playoffs. But we've got four teams battling for two spots that are going to come down. Coming down to two spots, four teams for two spots. Ipswich and Derby currently hold fifth and sixth down, but right behind them, Brentford, Wolverhampton. We're looking at the final games here. Ipswich play at Blackburn. Blackburn sitting in ninth place, going to be a tough game. Derby is going to host Reading, former club of Marcus Hanneman, who we're going to have on here in about 10 minutes. You've got
Wolves,
another former Marcus Hanneman club.
Yeah.
he's got more clubs than Jack Nicklaus here, Marcus Hanneman. Wolves hosting Millwall, a team already relegated out of the championship. Brentford hosting Wigan, another former Premier League team going down again. Yeah, FA Cup winner going all the way down. Ooh, Roberto Martinez, good job of getting out of there.
Blackpool's going down as well.
Oh, wow. Just going down the ladder. So you've got these four teams, one final game, playing for, obviously, to get in just for the opportunity to play in the Premier League. I mean, talk about coming down to the wire. This is really unbelievable. And you've got some very famous teams here. Derby County.
Yeah. Amazing team.
You know, Alan Hinton, legend. Yeah. Derby County. Alan Hinton, local Seattle Sounder legend.
Yeah.
Current ambassador for the Seattle Sounders FC.
Yeah.
Just a legend at Derby County. We just saw him on Monday night. He was at our post game FTI. He was over there.
Fantastic.
Great to see him. He crushed Colin Rigby for a couple minutes.
Deservedly.
He said, "Colin, you're the only guy that was ever happy when I was bringing you off the field." Just crushed him. Unlucky Riggs. Tough one. But, you got some big teams. Ipswich, obviously, a lot of history there. Norwich, Middlesbrough, teams that have been in the Premier League here in the last few years. And then you're looking at Wolverhampton, another team that has been yo-yoing the last, in the last few years up and down. We've talked about how this is such a great time of year. And, so much to stake. Obviously, we have the Champions League and all of this. But this is kind of, to me, this is a little bit different. These are these small clubs. This is everything to them. I mean, this is, this is in Barcelona saying, yeah, it'd be nice to also win this. This is the only thing they have.
Right.
And you've got, you've got middle class and lower middle class fans of these teams that are all week, all they're waiting for these games this weekend, and it's going to be everything for them.
Yeah, it's exciting to see Brentford as well. You get names that you don't see very often. Ipswich Town, haven't seen them in years in the Premier League. Norwich City, obviously, and Middlesbrough. So, and the exciting thing for Bournemouth, who is a tiny stadium, that they're going to have to use some of that money to expand it a little bit. But it's going to be great, like you said, and Watford's returning again to the Premier League. So always exciting to find out who's going to go down. It's just one of those great years, great time of years, like you mentioned. And if for those who are listening and don't know, it is, so the top two go in, the next four, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, play into a little playoff for the winner of the whole thing goes gets the third.
So the semifinals, third versus sixth, fourth versus fifth, and then they'll play off the next one. And again, just a great competition. You're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio and the Back Sports Page Network. We are brought to you by nobody because we have no sponsors, but we do like to mention La Rev. Nice little French bakery on top of Queen Anne where we do all of our pre-show meetings, and great girls there, great staff. They take care of us.
Nice apple turnovers.
Yeah, it's a great little spot. We're going to have Marcus Hanneman, former U.S. men's national team goalkeeper, former Premier League keeper with Fulham, Reading, in Wolverhampton, and Everton, four Premier League clubs, before he came back to the United States to finish his career with Seattle Sounders FC last couple years. Just got a text from Marcus. He's at Home Depot picking up a water heater, so he's on a little delay. Love this guy. The guy is just fantastic. I can't wait for this interview. He's such a character. He's such a great guy. So we're going to put him on a little bit of a delay, which is okay. We got plenty to talk about.
We sure do.
Let's just dive a little bit back into the Premier League, and let's just talk a little bit more about this top six and what we can expect from them. Let's talk Liverpool, because the 1-0 loss, the whole city, obviously it wasn't a great result for them. And you've got Brendan Rodgers here he's in a lot of trouble here, because you've got Jurgen Klopp now saying he doesn't want to go to City. He clearly won't stay in Germany. You know, I mean, to me, I see Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool in the future potentially. And I think, to me, if they drop out of the top six, I think Rodgers is done, and I think Klopp could be in. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I just will say for the listeners, Heinzo showed up this morning pre-show with the Borussia Dortmund hat on, was something I've never seen. I thought it was Jurgen Klopp sitting in La Rev waiting for me. Jurgen Klopp. What do you think, though? Rodgers or Klopp for Liverpool?
It's so hard to say. It just depends. If Real Madrid doesn't win the Champions League, does Ancelotti get fired? And Jurgen Klopp, if Real Madrid comes calling, Jurgen Klopp's going to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But that's a really big club, massively big. It's the highest you can get. I don't know if Klopp's quite there. I mean, what he's done at Dortmund is amazing, but does the style fit Real Madrid? I don't know.
Well, here's what I don't think fits there is that he clearly is a guy that wants security in wherever he goes.
Yes.
He wants to know he's going somewhere, and he has time to build a project. Mm-hmm. I mean, Real Madrid gives you half of the season. If you're not winning the Champions League and at the top of the league, you're out. I mean, exactly. You know, we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. I mean, how can you possibly be on the hot seat there,
right,
if you're in the position you're in? But that you are. So I think Klopp's looking for something a little more stable where he knows he's at least going to get a couple years.
Sure.
I think he could get that at Liverpool. I really do. I think that they could give him that. I still think Brendan Rodgers is I think he's having a panic session right now, because he keeps coming out talking about himself and how he's the right guy for the job and this and that. It's like he's trying to convince somebody with his words and not with the actual play that's going on the field.
Right.
Aside from Coutinho, who was, again, fantastic.
Definitely the best player.
This team looks to be a shambles to me.
Yeah, I think that's the other issue. I mean, he did have him almost winning the Premier League title last year, which they continue to mention. They crashed out of the Champions League. But the biggest thing was he was given all this money over the summer to sign a bunch of Southampton players. He signs, you know, brings in Balotelli.
Yeah.
None of that has worked.
Right.
And it's – so now he's got to restart things. I mean, what's he going to do? Are they going to give him another $150 million to do something like that on summertime?
Well, they're not going to give him another $150 million. Now, we did talk about how they have a board who decides the transfers there.
Yes.
And that board has come under a little bit of – scrutiny this week. I saw a little article on it. I mean, I just don't see, if you're the coach, I would have a problem saying, hey, I want to bring this guy in, and then I've got four other guys going, well, I'm not sure about that. You know, I want to have control over who's coming in, who's not coming in. And again, like we mentioned on the show last week, from all accounts, that was not a play. Balotelli was not a player that Rodgers wanted to bring in. And I think that's been clear by how much he's played him. Yeah. You know, the only player that's played less, I think, in the Premier League is Juan Cuadrado. And we thought he was had gone missing. He was on the back of a milk carton before Wednesday's appearance. Right. So, you know, I just think that that's a tough situation for him. It's going to be a tough situation for anything. I mean, imagine Jurgen Klopp going in there and saying, hey, I want to bring this player. And they go, oh, we're not sure, Jurgen.
Right. Yeah, he wouldn't like that.
No, I don't think he would at all. But, you know, I think Rodgers, to me, I don't know. I mean, everybody keeps saying he's going to stay, but I don't see it. I think he's out of there. And I think if Liverpool keeps – I mean, I think if Liverpool drops this game against QPR, I think and especially if Southampton and Tottenham are able to win and stay, and Liverpool drops out of the top six – whew, man, I think you're looking at some there's going to be some heat coming down on Rodgers, more so than what's already coming.
Yeah, he definitely needs to finish on a positive note. There's no question. Every Premier League manager, and especially one at Liverpool, is going to be under the microscope. And just to have Luis Suarez go to Barcelona was a massive loss. Well, everybody loses players. I mean, you look at Klopp, he lost Mario Götze to Bayern Munich. He lost Lewandowski to Bayern Munich. Guy's still winning stuff. You know, still he's got him in the German Cup final.
Exactly.
He did just come through a horrible first half of the season.
Yeah.
Dortmund were in the bottom looking to get relegated. Before now, he's got him all the way back up mid-table. They'll probably get a Europa League spot.
Yeah, they probably will. And, I mean, over there in the German Cup is massive.
It's a big deal.
And for them to do what they did to Bayern Munich this week, which we're going to cover a little bit later, you know, that's a big deal for them, especially the season they've had and the disappointment, you know, for them to get into that position is huge for Klopp. And I think, you know, on his way out of Germany, I'm glad that that happened for him because I think what he's done at Borussia Dortmund has been fantastic. But I want to see Klopp go to the Premier League.
Yeah,
because what more could you ask for? You've got Mourinho, Wenger, Van Hall, and Klopp all in the Premier League. I mean, that's just one more guy to wind Arsene Wenger up. One more manager is going to wind Arsene Wenger up. And get to see that little French smirk going on the sidelines. But it's, you know, to me, I think Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool. I would love to see that. I would really like to see that. And I think that if Jurgen Klopp goes there, I think you're going to see some players go there as well.
I'm not convinced that he'll go to Liverpool. I just don't know if it's big enough, to be honest, on his way moving from Dortmund to Liverpool right now. I mean, Liverpool obviously have the history,
right.
But I just don't know if they're exactly what Jurgen Klopp's looking for. I think he's looking to make a step up to somebody a little bit bigger with a little more money. And I think PSG's his next stop.
Ooh.
And Laurent Blanc still looking to win all those trophies there. But I mean, there's a lot of players to deal with. Maybe Ibrahimovic stays, maybe he doesn't, but there's a lot of money. They want to get in the Champions League. Jurgen Klopp's the kind of guy that has that experience, takes Dortmund all the way to the final, loses to a fantastic Bayern Munich team, has a good thing. So I think PSG for me
is
his next stop.
Okay.
That's my call.
So
I'm saying Klopp to PSG.
So Mr. White is out
at
PSG. Larry White is out at PSG.
Well, I mean, I just think that because they're in the same boat. They want to get in the Champions League. They're going to win everything in France. It's the French League, though. It's not as strong as the other leagues. So they have an advantage, I think, in a way. No disrespect to clubs like Monaco, Marseille.
Sure.
Lyon, fantastic teams. But then after that, it gets pretty light. And I think PSG can juggle and win these kind of
– That's a great call because that's – PSG's always looking to make a splash with whatever signing they make.
Exactly.
And I think that is a big splash to bring him over there. And
they got a lot of young talents. I mean, they got the Verratti. If Rabiot stays, they got a lot of players that can work and move. Van der Veel on the outside.
Right.
It's a good team, as we've seen. And I think they're one step away, maybe one or two players away.
Any chance that maybe he would take Falcao off of United's hands for us?
I think.
Does anybody want to take Falcao? Please, anybody.
Brendan Rodgers would love to sign him this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe when he's coaching in the PDL here in the United States, they'll sign him next year. you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heisen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Every Friday morning, 9 to 10 a.m., you can find us. We're also on Twitter. That Twitter handle is active. Not as active as we'd like it, but it's active. At FTTL in Seattle. And we've got soccer news and happenings being retweeted on that every week. We are just in the studio here waiting to talk to Marcus Hanneman, former U.S. men's national team goalkeeper and former Premier League keeper Marcus Hanneman. Really looking forward to getting him on. He's currently picking up a water heater at Home Depot. So a little deep, you know, he's doing a little homework, a little work in the home. You know, when you're retired, that's what happens. You know, you find yourself on a Friday morning at Home Depot when you're retired.
Oh, why not?
Picking up a water heater.
Fantastic.
I wouldn't know, but that just seems to be how this all goes. We'll get him on here and we're going to talk about this unbelievable promotion relegation battle going on. And he's a guy that he's a guy to talk to. He was involved in many of those situations. He went up with Fulham his first year in England. He went up with Reading. He came down with Wolverhampton. So he's really looking forward to getting his take on that and just his take on everything. He's just a great guy to talk to. So Marcus Hanneman, former U.S. men's national team goalkeeper, he will be coming on here shortly as we wait for him. We're going to move on, however. And let's talk a little MLS and let's talk about the Montreal Impact. Wow, we talked about them. Oh, man, after a great 1-1 draw at Azteca Stadium, coming home to Montreal, looking for the first Canadian winner of the CONCACAF Champions League, went up 1-0 early, and it was looking good. But to me, like I said, it was too early. It was too much time to give Club America, and they smashed them. Yeah. In the end, Club America, 4 unanswered goals, up 4-1, up 5-2 on aggregate. Montreal got a late consolation goal. Really unfortunate for them. They've obviously put everything into it, looking at their standings in the MLS as they sit at the very bottom. Well, not just of the Western Conference, but of the entire league. Tons of games in hand, obviously. Yeah, only played 4 games. They've got a ton of games in hand. They've been obviously very busy.
League's tried to help them out as much as possible.
Yeah, the league has tried to help them out as much as possible. But it was a good match. Club America, obviously, one of the top teams in the continent. They showed their quality. At the end of the day, I just don't think Montreal had enough.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, when they went to Azteca to tie 1-1, that was a pretty exciting moment. I mean, the MLS hasn't had a winner since 2000 with the Galaxy. I mean, before that, DC United won it in 98, but it was a little different competition back then. And yeah, Now there's a group stage. So, CONCACAF Champions League still tough for the MLS sides. But Montreal did have a good run, but Dario Benedetto scores a hat trick in that first goal. I mean, that just kind of spurred him on. And yeah, it was all Club America after that.
Oh, it really was.
Unbelievable. And the funny for me, you have Nigel Rio-Coker playing on the right-hand side.
Yikes.
All his experience. I mean, they just came through that constantly, down the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And he's nowhere to be found. So.
Well, all reports are Manchester United are about to sign him. We're going to replace Johnny Evans with Nigel Rio-Coker.
Rio-Coker, great player. But I think he was a little overwhelmed in this one. But it was all Club America. They just finally picked up. I think that, like you said, that early goal was something Club America said, we can't let this get away from us.
Well, I think it just woke him up.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I think that goal maybe comes a little bit later. Maybe it doesn't wake him up and doesn't give him as much time. But, you know, hats off to Frankie Klopas in Montreal. Because, you know, I think it's quite an accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Especially where that club's been. They've struggled the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. For them to get into that position, you know, that's big for them. Might keep Frankie Klopas' job up there for another year.
No, I don't think people don't realize how difficult it is to go down into Central America and the Caribbean and play in these tiny, hostile stadiums. The weather, it's hot, it's muddy,
yeah.
You've had a long flight, nothing's close. You go in there and you play these teams, and it's a very, very difficult game,
to see,
especially on the way. And obviously for them to come up as well, but I think it's just you're tightly packed, you're in there. In that stadium.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very tough environment.
Well, it's
especially coming.
It's hostile. And when we say hostile, I mean, we're talking hostile. We're talking as your bus is pulling into the stadium, people are throwing rocks
at you. You're not getting that. And I say that because you're not getting that experience here in North America.
No, no.
They're coming up there. Sure, there's people booing them or whatever, but it's nothing compared to what you're getting down there.
Yeah, there's a difference between a nice old lady who's at a – at a game on a Sunday giving you a little boo to 16-year-old kids chucking boulders out your bus as you drive into the stadium. Sure. I spent preseason with San Jose Clash in 1997. Right. We were in Mexico, Guadalajara for about a month. We played Tecos. Nobody in the stands. We were in their stadium, but you know, we went from the locker room into the stadium, and all of a sudden we walked straight down and then across and straight up. We had to go under a moat. There's a moat around the field separating the stands from the field.
Yeah.
And I was trying to register what I was looking at, that they need a moat around the field to keep the fans out of there. It just gives you an idea of what you're dealing with.
Different level.
When you, it's a different level of passion. Yeah. It's a different level of, you know, just of hostility when you get down there. So for them to get that result in Azteca Stadium, is
absolutely
that was amazing. Something itself. But unfortunate for them, you know, they're obviously now moving on, focusing on their MLS season. Let's just talk a little MLS. The Western Conference, if we look at that, it is just jammed up. And, you know, you're talking, you know, 6 points separate first to sixth. Right then, you know, you've got three more teams at on 9 points in San Jose, Portland, Real, and Colorado sitting at 10th. In the last place in eight, but they're really, I mean, Colorado, they're only eight points off.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. Yeah. And I mean, the 8 points separate first through 10th. I mean, it's quite remarkable. And you know, you've had a couple of real tight games. Obviously we had, the Sounders, Portland game, which we'll talk about, Sounders, inching that out 1-0, very, evenly played match.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that instead of boring, but it was evenly played. Clint Dempsey getting a goal. Did he get that goal?
Yeah, I mean, it was a real scramble. Yeah,
close. Yeah, it could have gone either way. It could have been Andy Rose's goal. Could have been an own goal. Yeah. Or let's just give it to Dempsey. Yeah, I mean, like, we'll just pad his stats a little bit. And then you also had Heinzen, talk about the Houston Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game.
I mean, that was just
unbelievable.
Yeah.
4-4?
Yeah. Benny Vailhaber's goal at the very end was a fantastic strike. But it was – all kinds of goals, all kinds of stuff. The marking, the defense was a little bit kind of went out the door. But, you know, Houston reacted well, and they went down to 10 men, though, once again.
Once again. Yeah, that Owen Coyle's putting his stamp on the team. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the last-minute strike from Dale Harbor was pretty classy. So, yeah. And Kansas City have lost Ike Opara. One of their strikers is out, ruptured his Achilles.
Oof,
so he's done, for 6 months. That's a huge loss for them. But the fact they're getting four goals.
Well, you know, obviously Sporting Kansas City new in the Western Conference this year. Houston Dynamo new last year. So a couple new teams there. And really two very good quality sides coming in. That Western Conference is very difficult. With the Vancouver Whitecaps playing at the level they are, FC Dallas playing at the level they are, you know the Galaxy is going to be there at the end of the day. You know, they still have to add Steven Gerrard, who's having a tough time, obviously, with Liverpool, but you know he's going to be good when he gets here. That Western Conference is jammed up, and you know it's going to be quite the race. If you look at the Eastern Conference, a little bit of a jam at the top there: New England, DC, New York Red Bull, Columbus, Chicago Fire, not too far off. Good to see Chicago Fire at the top, but you know then you've got Toronto, New York City FC, you've got Philadelphia, and you got Montreal, obviously, way at the bottom with a ton of games in hand. Orlando City, New York City FC, they're on fire at the beginning. Obviously, a lot of hype, new play, you know, Kaká, David Villa, but they've fallen off a little bit. And, you know, to be expected just a little bit for two expansion franchises coming in, it's always going to be difficult for them, and especially in terms of depth.
And then, you know, you got Villa's been injured as well, so I think Orlando are the ones that are really in trouble. We haven't seen much from them. Kaká has been, you know, hasn't been able to get as many goals as you'd think from them right away.
So, yeah.
They're conceding goals. So Orlando, still a little work to do, but they're still mid-table. So the good thing, there's teams like Montreal who haven't played many games, and Philadelphia Union, who I just think are maybe the worst team in the league.
Right.
Yeah, Philadelphia Union. So, but you mentioned the Galaxy. I mean, Robbie Keane still with his injuries. But watching the game against the Red Bulls earlier this week, they have this young kid named Bradford Jameson. And if there's somebody to watch and a player that's going to be a future for the United States, I mean, they already have Zardes.
Yes.
Now they have this Bradford Jameson kid. The goalie scored, and just kind of the He just looked like a professional striker. Like a young, I mean, not an 18-year-old.
Well, he is a professional striker. Yeah. I hate to tell you.
I know, but otherwise you wouldn't be watching.
He looked like a composed, like, veteran player. He receives the ball in the box, turns the guy. Great little move, and puts it far post. And that is something to be said about L.A., what they're doing with the young kids right now. To bring in a striker like that, I mean, usually it's, you know, Alan Gordon. It's a good combination they've got. I think you're absolutely right. Galaxy are going to be a strong team.
Oh, they're going to be for sure. And we looks like we've got Marcus Hanneman calling in. We're going to back up here and bring him on. Bringing Marcus Hanneman on the show here. Marcus, former U.S. men's national team goalkeeper, a very long stint in England, starting with Fulham, moved on to Reading, moved on to Wolverhampton, and also ended at Everton before coming back to the Seattle Sounders. Marcus, are you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nice. How's that water heater looking?
Well, it looks pretty good. Sorry that Home Depot took me a little bit longer this morning than normal.
Oh, no worries. Well, we're certainly very lucky to have you on the show. I'm here with Aaron Heinzen. You're on From the Touchline in Seattle. And real lucky to have you on the show. We've been talking promotion relegation. And we thought you might be the guy to talk to since you went through a couple of those situations. Right when you got to England at Fulham, you experienced that first year there. You had a couple of appearances there, and you guys were able to win promotion into the Premier League. Just talk about that and kind of how that went at the end of the year and just the excitement that was around the club, knowing the kind of money that was going to come in with that promotion and the excitement of getting into the Premier League.
Well, I mean, that was the whole reason why I left the MLS and tried to get over to England, because those are the games you watch on TV. At the time it was, I can't remember what the show was. It was Fox Soccer or something like that. And it was the most exciting games, you know, to watch the Premier League. That, you know, it was always end to end. Even, you know, you had the top, you know, four teams, but everybody else, they were able to give them a game for most of the time, it seemed. You know, there was always a chance that they could come out with a result. And because the game in England was so physical and everything, and that was where just that excitement and that's why I wanted to go there. And to the whole season, you know, we're built up. We were going to get promoted. You know, we had the players to do it. And, you know, the first year it didn't actually happen for us. It was the next year, when Tigana came in, and we just rolled through everybody. And we had a really good team. Our forward was Saha, who was probably the best player I've ever played with. He was amazing. And I had a chance to play with him at Everton too, the last couple years, the last year I was in England. And it was just amazing, you know, the amazing athlete. And, but the whole thing about the money and the difference between staying in the Championship and getting into the Premier League, I think it's like $60 or $70 million, you know, right away. You know, that doesn't count.
For this coming year, it's £130 million for each team that goes up, and then they get, if they stay up the next year, it's another extra £100 million. So that's quite a bit of money. I do have a question for you. That money, does that get split at all between the players? Was there a bonus involved in you guys going up?
We had really good bonuses, and with Reading, we had really good bonuses. We had really good bonuses to stay up, and because it's based on, you know, the team's performances is how it works, right? And, you know, different teams, they do different things. At Manchester United, there's no bonuses for staying up. I don't even think there's bonuses for being in the Champions League, because they expect to be in the Champions League.
Sure.
And then as you go to different teams, they have different bonus structures and how it works. And with Reading, nobody was on really big money, so we had really good bonuses to go up. We had even better bonuses to stay up. I think I made more money in bonuses that year than I did with my salary. So, you know, we had really good, you got per point bonuses, which all rolled into, and then we had a really good bonus to stay up as well. So all of a sudden now, and what's great about that, what people don't understand is when you have an individual bonus, let's say when I went to Wolverhampton, all these team bonuses even were rolled into individual contracts. And what happens is let's say you have a $5,000 win bonus to, you know, in someone's contract. But if the next guy has a $500 win bonus or £500 win bonus, it's not the same. And even if it's less, everyone seems to be pulling for the same thing. And
right.
even though it's not, might not be a huge amount of money at certain stages, but whatever it is, guys are playing for these, for, because ultimately you're playing for money, but you're playing for the same exact thing. And
yeah.
when you start having these individual bonuses, it just doesn't quite work. And,
sure.
you know, and so yes, you do see some of that, but what ultimately happens is then when you get promoted, then they start rewriting contracts.
Right.
And then you start to make, you know, and you know, the big money at when, you know, when I was there the first time, you know, you're thinking, okay, if you can get to 10 grand a week, you know, now everyone thinks, oh, you play soccer, you're making 150 grand a week because, you know, that's what Rooney makes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So everything has jumped up quite a bit, and you know, the TV
yeah.
money, the TV contracts keeps getting higher. And,
right.
But
well, it really
that
is. It's remarkable that the money that's involved with it. And it's just, you know, it's just what a great insight to hear about the, you know, how you guys are motivated to do that. I want to ask you about the 2005-06 season, Marcus. You missed just one game that saw Reading win promotion to the top into the Premier League. And that year, you topped the championship with a record 106 points. You were named that season's into that season's championship team of the year. And really, I think that year at Reading when you guys went up, I mean, that solidified you as a living legend at that club. Talk about a little bit about that season, what that was like, because you had gone through a couple of years where you guys were close, you were in the playoffs, you almost went up, and then all of a sudden that 2005-06 season, you guys were just magical. What a magical year for you guys.
It was incredible. We kept, you know, we kept making it to the playoffs and just ran out of steam at the end of the year. And, you know, we really improved our team. You know, Steve Coppa was our manager, who's an awesome manager. And everything just seemed to work that year, aside from our, I think it was our first game, I think we lost that year at home. Our home opener, I think we lost that. And then we didn't lose a game until, I think it might have been February after
uh-huh.
that. So, I mean, we had an unbelievable run. And, you know, we had a whole bunch of different things that happened that year. Like we had a, they're kind of sports psychologists a little bit that came into the club, but, you know, with these guys, when they come in, it's either everybody buys into it or it turns out to be really stupid and nobody likes it. You know, that's how these things work.
Yeah.
You're never in the middle with this stuff. And what they did is they just broke down the games in, like, we had a month. So we met once a month with these guys. And they weren't, I don't know if they were actually sports psychologists. They, you know, were just kind of, they worked with some rugby teams and did some stuff. And that, you know, they thought they'd bring them in. And what was really cool is they broke these games down as, you know, the next four games, what do we want to achieve from these next four games? Like, what's our points total we want to be at? You know, what's going to be acceptable, what's not, you know? And what was hard for me in the beginning is because you almost had to think, okay, we're going to lose some games, because you can't say, oh, you know, blanket, you could say, yeah, we want to win every game, of course we do, but, you know, that's not always possible. So once you kind of got in your head, okay, what do we really want to achieve? And so, but our bad results then were draws. We picked up draws when we were playing poorly, and we picked up wins when we were playing poorly, because we just found ways to win. Everybody was striving for that same thing, and it was a really incredible year, and it just kept rolling on. And the year we went up with Fulham, you know, once we kind of secured promotion, everybody turned into party mode, and didn't quite happen where we were still pulling to win games, and it wasn't the same thing. Where at Reading, we were, you know, we kept going every game, and even after we secured promotion, we won the league then at some point. We kept going because guys were really hungry. And
yeah,
guys were looking at, okay, I want to go to the Premier League. But the problem too is when you get promoted, what a lot of people don't think about is, you know, if you're making good money in the championship, do you really want to get promoted? Because what happens sometimes is now these teams get, like, now it's $130 million or pounds, which is, you know, 250 million. They just go buy new players. So,
right.
You know, which kind of happened to me at Fulham when we got promoted, and I wasn't playing all the time. I got to the team. Mike was, you know, Mike Taylor was the goalkeeper at the time, and we get promoted, and I'm thinking, oh, yes, sweet. I'm one red card, you know, one injury away from playing in the best league in the world, and we signed Edward Van der Sar.
No, I'm not a bad player.
He's decent. I've heard he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's average, right? And so you're like, oh, no, great, here we go. And I go, well, at least I can go. I'll be able to go. If I'm the third keeper, you know, if Mike doesn't leave, then, you know, I can go on loan, because they wouldn't let me go on loan because you need a backup. And so I was able to go on loan that next season when we were in the Premier League. And I ended up started off at Rochdale, which was a, you know, pro team, but it was a small little club. We had, you know, 2,500 people, 3,000 at the games.
Yeah.
But it's where I really made my name for myself in England, where it started, because I had a great month there. Then went on loan to Reading for a month, where I had another great month over Christmas, where you play like 7 games in a month. And and next thing you know, I signed with Reading the next year, you know, which was a dream move. And so that whole
Just a little note about that, Marcus, that year that you went on loan to Reading, you actually helped them come up from the third division, or, you know, from League One into the Championship, because they were playing in the third tier at that point. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And so that month, and they got promoted on the last day of the season. And, you know, those sorts of things, you know, everything matters. And you know, every game matters. And the whole relegation and promotion thing is, you know, it's hard for, you know, for teams here to understand the consequences of winning and losing a game. You know, it is so dramatic. And, you know, if you're one of the middle, you know, teams, it doesn't matter sometimes, but, you know, the whole season is like that. The whole season is so much pressure, whether you're at the top or bottom. Where here, you don't get that the MLS. It's just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
We're in it no matter what.
Marcus, this is Aaron Heinzen. Quick question about that. Do you think you could ever apply to Major League Soccer? I've heard the argument that it's too big in the United States and it needs more time to develop. I mean, what do you think about that? It's like you said, I mean, teams that are in the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs, you know, whatever, not a big deal. But like you mentioned, that experience you've had, I mean, that's unbelievable for players to really realize you could lose or win or whatever.
I mean, the only ways you can do that is to have every game matter, is to have promotion and relegation, right?
Right.
That's the main thing. And that will never happen because you spend your $100 million to buy into the league, and now you're going to say, well, you might not be in this league next year. People are like, well, we're not doing that, you know?
Right.
So no one's ever going to agree to that. The other way you do it is by bonuses. You know, you put, you know, weighted bonuses, and now all of a sudden everyone starts to pull that. But, you know, a win bonus in the MLS is like $100. And you're like, wow. Thank
you. Yeah.
I mean, and then with Clint's contract, what Clint's pulling for that $100, you know, I mean,
right.
Right.
You know, that stuff doesn't matter, you know? And I don't know. That's the part that, you know, when you talk to everybody who plays overseas, you know, me and Casey, we hang out all the time. We ride motorcycles together now. And we always talk about the win bonuses. You know, if they just had win bonuses that actually mattered, you know, you would see a whole different level of play and intensity, I think, throughout the whole season. Because now people are like, yeah, we're just playing for a spot or appearance money or different things like that. And, you know, that's one thing I think, you know, they really need to think about. But, you know, they're looking at it and they don't want to do it.
Right.
Right.
That's a great point. So you, besides promotion, been a part of the relegation, kind of talk about how that works within the club towards the end when people kind of find the inevitable is going to happen. What's the environment like?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, the buzz and, you know, with how much money that's available, you know, to these teams, right. It's also the fans. And, you know, when you look at, you know, what it means to a city and to stay in the Premier League. And, you know, our team, you know, Reading, we had, you know, we were roughly, you know, 15, 17,000, 20,000. And, you know, you get promoted to the Premier League and, you know, the ticket prices go up, obviously, but, you know, we're sold out all the time. And you have, you know, a lot of times you'll have fans who are maybe, let's say, you know, we had a lot of Swindon fans, which was the next team over from us. You know, down the M4, a little bit farther away from London, they were all of a sudden they're season ticket holders for us now, because now it's Premier League soccer and it's the closest team they can get to, and they can't afford to get Chelsea tickets or whatever, because our tickets were still pretty good. And they're thinking, well, every, you know, we're going to see the best teams in the world, you know? And so all of a sudden you start picking up other fans as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, in a country like England, everybody has their local team and then they have a Premier League team they watch, you know? Right. So that's, everybody seems to have a couple of teams, unless you're, you know, just a Chelsea fan, you know, then you might just be, because then you have a Champions League team you can watch. You have a, you know, you have everything there. But most people have a couple of teams they really support and really follow. And, you know, especially everyone like picks a Premier League team when they're younger, and which is kind of interesting. So you kind of, all of a sudden you get these kids now who are now Reading fans, where their parents might've been lifelong Swindon fans because of, you know, they went out and watched some Premier League games and everybody, you can't help but root for the underdog. So when you're watching these games, you know, you're playing Man United, everyone's rooting for Reading, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, they want to see a good game.
Well, and, you know, just talk a little bit about, you know, like if you were to go back to Reading now, let's say you're going to go to a game and just go watch it. Is that a situation where, I mean, obviously people are going to recognize you. I mean, you're a living legend at the club. But what's the environment like that? Have you been back to a game, and what would it be like if you go back?
No, I haven't been back to England in a while now. It's just, you know, just a timing issue. But funny enough, I get recognized more when I go to Whistler than I do in Seattle.
So many English people at Whistler. They love it.
Oh, that is hilarious.
It's true. It's so fun.
Yeah. And I mean, I go to Whistler a lot now, but I mean, it doesn't matter. I'll be sitting on a chairlift and all of a sudden there's some Irish guy next to me. And he goes, you know, he starts going, "What are you doing here?" Like, can't believe, you know, he's like, wait a second, you know, cause they come, you know, you get a lot of, you know, English people, Irish people, Scottish people come out and hang out at Whistler. Cause it's, you know, it's a global place, and they come out and next thing you know, they're sitting on the chairlift with me and they can't quite figure out, you know, like, oh, can't be, you know, like, it doesn't make sense. And,
that's hilarious. Great. Well, and just so the listeners know, Marcus Hanneman, great skier. We had a great ski trip in college. We went down to see my older brother in Snowbird, Utah, and just killed it there for a couple days. But great skier, Marcus, and I'm looking forward to getting on the slopes with you next year. You've had a rough year here, but I'm looking forward to getting up with you next year.
Yeah, I hit Whistler 5 times, so I timed that pretty well this year. So
yeah, that's not bad. Well, listen, yeah. Marcus, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. What great insight, you know, into promotion relegation and into, you know, just English football. And, you know, just thank you so much for coming on the show. Can't thank you enough.
Yeah. Thanks. Fantastic.
And,
I expect you to stop by and help me with that water heater.
Yeah. I was just going to say good luck with that water heater the next couple hours. All right, Marcus. Marcus Hanneman, former national team goalkeeper, former Premier League goalkeeper, former Seattle Sounder goalkeeper. Great to have you on. Thanks again, Marcus.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Eric.
Wow. I have to say that's
great insight.
That's great insight.
I mean,
yeah. Just what a great guy. And gosh, I mean, some of the games that guy played in, you know, imagine, I mean, this guy played at Old Trafford, played at Stamford Bridge, you know,
it's true. You know, there's not a lot of Americans with that kind of experience, and to have him come in and say, oh, and you know, when we got promoted, everyone was really excited, but then they bought Edwin Vandersar.
Yeah, talking about Edwin Vandersar. Yeah.
Well, best player in place with Louis Saha. These are great. Those are world-class players.
Fantastic
goalkeeper in the States.
He was a fantastic goalkeeper. And, you know, I just have to say, like, I played with him in college for 2 years, and he would come back and train. He came back and trained with the Sounders a lot when, you know, he's the kind of guy, right before you take a shot, if you're an attacking player, you get that last touch and you just have a little glance on kind of where what's available. And, I mean, Marcus is a huge guy. And it was one of those things where you just look up and you don't see any options. You see, either try to chip him or you just try to smash it as hard as you can. And he's just, I have to tell you, just to play with that guy and to see some of the things he did, he was an amazing goalkeeper. Very amazing goalkeeper. I felt very lucky to have got the chance to play. Just a character, an amazing guy, as you could hear in the interview there. I mean, he's just a great guy and real appreciative of him coming on the show.
Yeah, Absolutely. Thanks, Marcus. It's fantastic.
And we're going to go right here at the end. We got our newest segment. We tried it out last week and it went well. It's two touch. And we're just going to take a little touch on a couple objects here. Champions League, Heinzen, which match are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, no question, Bayern, Barcelona. Okay. Biggest names, biggest players. Absolutely.
There it is. And speaking of Champions League, we're missing a big club. It's AC Milan. Are they terrible?
AC Milan is terrible right now. Will they be sold to the Thai company or not? I don't know. I think they will.
Yeah. Okay.
AC Milan.
Brendan Rodgers may be heading that way.
Brendan Rodgers heading staying.
Yeah, he's staying. Okay. Speaking of Balotelli, is he also terrible?
Balotelli says he wants to stay in Liverpool, has had a starts. No goals yet for Balotelli. Balotelli goes.
And he obviously caused the goal the other day. He will be at a mid-table Italian club next year. Liverpool. Bye. Will Liverpool drop out of the top six, Heinzo?
No.
They won't. And Rodgers will stay. Eric Ayuk-Embu, if you score your first MLS goal at the age of 18, how many backflips do you do?
You need at least four or five.
Okay, and how many did he give us?
He gave us four or five.
He gave us four or five. He looked like he was in the middle of a gymnastics routine. That was fantastic. Will Bournemouth lose 19-0 to Charlton? Even consider also, before you answer this, they've signed Freddie Adu.
They will bring it down to the wire and lose 18-0 but still survive.
Okay, Adam Johnson. Included in the Sunderland squad for the weekend after being accused of horrible things in England. What do you feel about that?
I think some of the clubs, you know, he has been charged. He's going to go to court in late May. I think they're just trying to survive. Really,
they've lost the plot. That's worse than Balotelli and AC Milan. That's awful. Last but very not least, David Beckham has been voted in England that he should never be knighted. Would you knight David Beckham, Heinzen?
I would not knight David Beckham. He's won enough.
I would definitely knight David Beckham. I love that guy. Thanks for a great, great show. Thanks for joining us. Todd Stauber, Aaron Heinzen. We'll see you next week on From the Touchline in Seattle.